More than 500 people. More than 500 people were there. I was just chatting with my friend Daniel, and he was just telling me he was part of that group that was there when more than 500 people saw Jesus alive. The day that changed everyone. I mean, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Unless you've been sleeping under a rock. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus. He's alive, and more than 500 people have seen him. Now, that was a few weeks ago now, and that day that changed everything. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I need to tell you a bit of the backstory first. I was just a fisherman. I mean, I'm there just getting on with my life, and then Jesus came along and called me to be one of his disciples. I mean, I'm not an impressive guy. I'm just this ordinary fisherman guy, and I'm hanging around, but I knew there was something special about this person, Jesus. And so me and my brother Andrew and 10 other guys headed off and became Jesus' disciples. And for about 3 years, we got to follow him around and see some amazing things he did. And just crazy things. I mean, there was the time where with just a few bits of bread and a few bits of fish, Jesus fed thousands of people. Thousands of people with just a few bits of fish and a couple bits of bread. I mean, there was a time in the storm, and we're in the boat, and this storm came up, and Jesus is asleep. I mean, I said to Jesus, wake up, don't you care that we're drowning? You know what Jesus did? He stood up, he looked at the storm, and said, be quiet. And suddenly, it all just went quiet. I just couldn't believe. We were a bit scared at that point of the story. We're a bit terrified of what's going on. Who is this guy, Jesus? And then there was Lazarus. I mean, this wasn't even that long ago. This is just amazing. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And Jesus goes to Lazarus, and he goes to the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, after 4 days dead, comes out of the tomb, and Jesus raises him to life. It's just crazy stuff. Everyone's been talking about that one, and people that know Lazarus, it's just amazing. Oh, there were so many more things that Jesus did. I'd love to sit here all day and tell you about them, but probably you want to go and eat eggs or something. I don't know. Maybe one day someone might write some of them down in a book for you. I don't know. But there's so many more things Jesus did. And the amazing thing is that I got to witness them firsthand. Me, Peter, the rock. You know, that's what Jesus changed my name to. He changed my name to Peter because it means the rock. Yeah, need to get to the gym a bit more, don't I? But anyway, that's what Jesus called. The rock. That was one of the high points in my life. There was a lot of high points. There was a lot of low points. I'm always putting my foot in my mouth. My mouth seems to work faster than my brain. I don't know who that is in your family. If you don't know who it is, it's probably you. But my mouth just seems to work faster than my brain sometimes. And so I have these high points and these low points. I mean, one of the high points, Jesus came to me, and one day he said, who do you say I am, Peter? And this was a high point. I told him, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I got that right. Right on the money. You are the one that the Old Testament for hundreds of years predicted. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's come to save us. Well, that was okay, and that was really exciting. But then after that, Jesus started to tell us that he was going to die. I mean, what kind of Messiah is this? Here I am saying, you're the Christ, the Messiah, and Jesus says, oh, look, I'm just letting you know I'm going to die. And I'm like, nah, that's not going to happen. So I got Jesus aside and said, no, Jesus, you're not going to die. Boy, was I wrong. Well, it wasn't long after that I reached one of the lowest points in my life. And it was the night before Jesus was going to be crucified, where he was going to be betrayed to death, where he was going to die for all of us. And so here I am with Jesus, and Jesus says, look, where I'm going, you can't come with me. Not yet anyway. One day you can come with me, but where I'm going, Jesus, you can't come with me. Now, I'm Peter, I'm the rock. I said, no, Jesus, I'm with you. Wherever you're going, I will go with you. You can count on me, Jesus. Even if it's to death, Jesus, you can count on Peter the rock. Jesus looked at me and he said, tomorrow morning before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Surely not me. When Judas came with the crowds to arrest Jesus, first I was very brave. I grabbed my sword out, I slashed off the ear of the high priest's servant, and Jesus said, stop. And he put his hand on the ear and held it. But then as things got a bit scary, myself and all of Jesus' disciples deserted him. Jesus, in the hour of need, was carried off, arrested for doing nothing wrong, and all of us just deserted him. Well, there I followed a distance, and we came into the high priest's court, and there was a girl there in the court, and she said, "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" I said, no, you've got that wrong. That's not me. That must be someone else. Two more times, people said, "Hey, you're one of his followers. I've seen you with him." And I denied it both times again. "I don't even know the man," I said. And then as the rooster crowed to start the day, I remembered what Jesus had said. "Three times you will deny me." I was crushed. I just wept and wept and wept. Well, they took Jesus to that cross. He was physically, emotionally, and spiritually tortured on that cross. The physical and emotional pain, just horrific. But the spiritual pain, where he became the sin for the entire world, is something we'll never understand. And we were still confused at this time. I mean, why is he dying? But now we know he had to die. He had to die for all the things that I'd done wrong and all the things you'd done wrong. A perfect, holy God can't just go, "Well, they're okay, we'll let them into heaven." Heaven's a place of perfection. It means there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no suffering, there's no cancer, there's no anger, there's no none of that horrible stuff in heaven. And that's because God is perfect and he expects perfection. And because I'm not perfect, Jesus died in my place because he is perfect. Well, it's all well and good that Jesus died, but at that point we think, I mean, if this is it, if Good Friday, if death is it, well, what's the point? We might as well pack up and go home now. What a waste of a morning we've had. But that was not the end of the story. And this is where the day that changed everything was happened. The day that changed everything. It was the first day of the week. And Mary came running to us, and she said, "They've taken him, they've taken him." And I'm like, "What do you mean they've taken him? Jesus, he's gone from the tomb." And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. They put a massive stone in front of the tomb. They put two Roman armed soldiers in front of the tomb. They put a royal seal on the tomb. No one was getting in there, right? But she was adamant. "No, they've taken him." Well, John and I, we thought, we better go and check this out. And we started running for the tomb. Now, John's a bit younger than me. He got there first, and he had a bit of a peek in, but he didn't want to go in. He was just a bit horrified with it all. But I'm Peter, I'm the rock. I got there, in I went. And there in the tomb was just these empty grave clothes. Well, everything Jesus had said, it all started coming back to me. All the things Jesus said about how he's going to die and he's going to come to life again. He said he was the resurrection and the life. "Anyone who believes in me will never really die," he said. We were still a bit confused and a bit afraid because Jesus had just been killed and they were after his followers. So all the disciples, we gathered together and we're inside a locked room, and this is what happened. Jesus appeared to us. There he was, standing right in front of us. The day that changed everything. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just this amazing, just untold ever, the most amazing thing ever that's happened in history. I'm standing there with Jesus. And then it all flooded back to me. All days ago, Jesus needed me. I denied him three times. What would he say? Had Jesus come to punish? Had Jesus come to get those that had done things wrong? Is that why Jesus came? But Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Because Jesus came to forgive and to release and give freedom and give grace and give love. Jesus didn't come to judge people. He came to release. Judgment of sin. He came to release us from the penalty of sin. He came to release us from the judgment of eternal death and give us eternal life. And so instead of giving condemnation to me who had rejected him in his darkest hour, he gave forgiveness instead. Well, now because of Jesus' resurrection, we all have the hope of eternal life. And it was in that moment as we saw the resurrected Jesus. 500 people saw him just a little while ago. All these people saw him, but when we saw him, the disciples, suddenly all those words of Jesus made sense. He'd been saying all these things and we kind of didn't get it, but suddenly in that moment with the resurrected Christ, it all made sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What do you think this all means on the day that changed everything? Luke.
The day that changed everything. Have you got a day in your life that everything changed? Was it a day of sorrow, a day of joy? For me, it one that stands out is actually 18th of March 2017. I got married to my wife Olivia, and ever since then my life has been changed, and it's just been a beautiful time. When's a day in your life that everything changed? 2,000 years ago, there was the greatest day in history. We sung it this morning. It wasn't the worst day in history. It wasn't this horrible day in history. It was the greatest day in history where everything changed. A powerful day, a beautiful day. And we've been doing a series at the moment, we've finished it now, of all the I Ams and the wonders that Jesus did in John. And we see that in John chapter 11, 25 to 26, that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And those that believe in me will not die, they will live. They will live. Death is not the end. One day, our hearts are going to stop. One day our hearts are going to stop, our body's going to perish. But death is not the end. It's only the beginning," which is just so beautiful when we believe in Jesus. We also get to the other I Am statement, that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. The only way. It's not through Buddha, it's not through Muhammad. It's not through the good works that we do. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we remember him this day, Resurrection Sunday. It's beautiful. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We also see Paul brings up in Romans that if you profess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you have it in your heart that you believe that Jesus rose again on the cross, you will be saved. That's all we need to do. All we need to do is believe that Jesus died and rose again. He took our sins on the cross. What a beautiful day, the greatest day in history. It's so special. It's so beautiful. When we reflect over Easter, what a great day, and what a great day to remember. So I guess that big question, and this is actually a quote that I love, and I've shared it a few times before. C.S. Lewis, an amazing man, says that if Christianity not true, it's of little importance. It's of no importance at all. But if true, it's infinite importance. It's infinite importance. The only thing it can't be is moderately important. Not moderately important. Resurrection Sunday, we remember today. And I just want you to wrestle with that quote. If Christianity is real, it's infinite importance, if not, of no importance at all. What does that mean for you? Does that mean that, I'm going to keep living my life the way I want to live it, and, Jesus, maybe I'll get there one day, or is it, maybe today is the day that I want to give my life to Jesus, or maybe I'm already living that life and living a life where I serve Jesus and I love Jesus, King Jesus. Where do you sit in those sort of three things? Do you sit with the importance, or do you sit on the other side? Like we heard in that Roman sort of thing, if you profess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose again, you will be saved. Where do you sit? Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that in your heart that that's true? It's such a beautiful, beautiful day. But it's not just about the resurrection, not just about eternal life. It's also about living now. When we become a Christian, our whole life changes. I don't know if you've ever seen a friend or a family member that's become a Christian, their whole life changes. I had a friend growing up in high school. He was a bit of a crazy guy and did a few things that he regrets that he did. But once he became a Christian, like, his entire life changed. People saw a difference in his life. He started living for the kingdom and started doing these beautiful things. His life was changed. He was there to love people. He was there to care for people. He had this completely different attitude about life. He was excited about living. It was a beautiful thing Do you want to have that? Do you want to have that excitement of living and that excitement of death isn't the end, it's actually the beginning? So beautiful. In a moment, we're going to just quickly pray. And we're going to pray if you want to, I think we'll all pray this prayer together. But if you want to pray this prayer, if you want to do a recommitment, maybe you're struggling with your life at the moment, maybe you're struggling with your belief, you're doubting, maybe those sort of things are going on, maybe you're a new believer, you've never become a Christian in your life and you've been wrestling with it and all these different things. We're going to pray this prayer together, and if you want to take Jesus as your Savior today, if you've heard the message this morning and heard about the resurrection and you believe that that's true and you want to serve Jesus and love Jesus the rest of your life, I would love you to pray this prayer with me. And then after the service, it'd be lovely to come down and have a chat with you afterwards. Matt, myself, or Lynn, or one of the other elders or something, would love to have a chat to you afterwards as well. So if you'd like to bow your heads with me, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we know we're all sinners, Lord. We know I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin has separated me from you. And I pray that today will be a day where I can change that, Lord. That I can live a day which serves you, Lord. That you, I just recognize today that you have forgiven my sins on that cross, on that Friday, when you died on the cross and then you rose again on the Sunday. I just pray that from now on, that this day forward, that I can serve you, my amazing Savior. I just pray that from now on, that I will live a life where you will be my priority. You will be my focus in everything I do. I thank you that you saved, took my sins on the cross, even though I didn't deserve it, but you loved me that much. I just pray that from now on, that you will be the Lord of my life, my King. We thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Amen.